Message number TL453. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges, as this is the book that we will now deal with in our biblical expositions. By way of introduction, I might say that when we come to this book, we discover that the moral character of the Israelites, as it is described in the book of Judges, has greatly deteriorated. The generation who were contemporaries with Joshua were both courageous and faithful, and they were free in a great measure from the weakness and the obstinacy which had dishonored their fathers. Their first ardor, however, had now somewhat cooled, and more than once they fell into a state of indifference which Joshua found it needful to rebuke. Perhaps the whole territory of Palestine was more than they needed or could usefully occupy. And as each tribe received its portion, they became so engrossed in cultivating it, or so much fonder of ease and of war, that they grew unwilling to help the rest. All national feeling was lost, and disorders of all kind arose from the want of settled rule. All found it, moreover, more convenient to make slaves of their subjugated nations than to expel them. And this policy was both unwise and sinful, and the results were soon seen. Another generation arose. Living among idolaters, the Israelites copied their example, intermarried with them, and became contaminated with their abominations. The old inhabitants of the land, left alone, gathered strength to make head against the chosen race. Surrounding nations and tribes such as the Syrians, Philistines, Moabites, and Midianites took advantage of their degeneracy to attack them, while the licentiousness, the ease, and idolatry to which the Hebrews were giving way impaired their powers of defense. Especially does the history of Samson, who was the last judge in the series, exhibit the consequences of unbridled sensuality. This has often been seen in many countries, and we're going to see it here now in the book of the Judges. Chapter 1 and verse 1 begins our study. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" They asked the Lord, and the Lord answered. The Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Judah said unto Simeon his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toe. Now you'd say, well, why did they do that? Well, the thumbs of their hands and the what they used to call the thumb of the foot, but as we call it now, the big toe or the great toe of the foot. Now, this was not really an unusual act of cruelty in ancient times toward enemies. At least they didn't feel it was. There is one historian who gives us the information that in after ages, the Athenians, at the instigation of Cleon, son of Cleonetus, made a decree that all inhabitants of the island of Aegina should have the thumb cut off from the right hand so that they might ever after be disabled from holding a spear, yet might handle an oar. It was custom among those Romans who did not like a military life to cut off their thumbs, that they might be incapable of serving in the army. And for the same reason, parents sometime would cut off the thumbs of their children so that they would never need to or never could serve in the army, because without the thumb, they could find no place of service for them in the ancient armies. And so this seemed to be almost a customary thing. We wouldn't think of such a thing today, of course, but we're living in a different time. And Adonai Bezek said, Three score and 10 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. So they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. This man actually saw that this was the judgment of God in turn upon him for what he had done to 40 kings. They all had to get their meat from under his table, just eat the crumbs. So they brought him to Jerusalem, was in Jerusalem, he died. Now we're told the children of Jerusalem had fought against Jerusalem. They had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and they set the city on fire. We've had several mentions of Jerusalem in Joshua. Here is the first one in the book of Judges. As yet it is a city of no importance. There is no temple there. There is no rule over Israel that is centered there. But here now, the children of Judah, they fought against Jerusalem. They've taken the city and they've set it on fire. Now, afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now, the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Arba, and they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it to him, I will give Achish, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Achish, his daughter, to wife. Now, the word here was that it's just a repetition of that which happened and was already, we've already considered in the book of Joshua. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. As I said before, this is just a repetition of history. As we start the book of Judges, it sort of lays the groundwork for it. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah in the wilderness of Judah, that lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it, and the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ashkelon the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, and Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Now the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Now the house of Joseph went to describe Bethel. Now the same of that city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city. And they said, Show us, we pray, the entrance into the city, and we will show you mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Now neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, near Taanach and her towns, the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. See, they're falling short here in everything. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the twin Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, for the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor Alab, nor Achzib, nor of Helba, nor Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. And neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Anath. And he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Horaz in Ajalon, and in Shealbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the house of the Amorites was from the going up of Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Now, in the second chapter, we have in the first 15 verses a review of the Israelite invasion of Canaan right up to the death of the man Joshua. Verse 1, the angel of the Lord came and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. That word never is the word olam, and it's just a signification that this covenant would be a perpetual thing. But ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye not done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. It came to pass, when the angel Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices, and they wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. But when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, north side the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the works of the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods of the gods of the people round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth, gods of that country, that land. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them in the hands of spoilers and spoiled them. He sold them in the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whither ever so they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, they were greatly distressed. Now a change comes in. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. These judges delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them, that he oppressed them and vexed them. It came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned, and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them, to bow down to them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. An insight to the very character of people, an insight to the fact that the sin that is in the world captivates them. Through the death that works in them, they sin. And if they get involved too deeply in it without turning to the Lord their God, then they find themselves in the miserable state that is being described here. Now, what's the outcome of this? Well, the anger, verse 20 of chapter 2, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he says, because that this people that transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, have not hearkened unto my voice, I will not henceforth drive out any more from them the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. These things were to test Israel. These nations were to prove Israel. Even as many of Israel as did not know in all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, or at least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites and Sidonians, the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, and from Mount Baal Hermon under the entering in of Hamath. And they were there to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Well, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. They took their daughters to be their wives, gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God, and they served Balaam, and they served the groves. Groves was always associated with idolatrous worship from time immemorial. They would take a grove, and they would enshrine an idol there. And this idol might be a sacred tea or an image, some such thing as that. And this false worship was always connected with the groves. Verse 8, therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them in the land of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan, Rishathaim's 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel. Of course, a deliverer is a savior. A savior is a deliverer. Who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Shushan Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the king of Kenaz, died. The son of Kenaz died. Verse 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Now we come to an interesting character named Ehud. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And the word here for left-handed is a rather peculiar term. It really has to do with the fact that the man's right hand was deformed, incapacitated, either by disease or could be by accident. And so all he had to use was his left hand. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. Guess what we today would call a gazebo or a summer house. He had this for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also, the haft is the handle, also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out, because the intestinal tract seems to have been ruptured. And Ehud went forth through the porch, and shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they say that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Sirath. It came to pass when he was come, he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mountain, he before them. He said unto them, follow me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all of them lusty, that is, strong, all of them men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel. The land had rest for 80 years. Seems to be giving round numbers here of 20 and fourscore years. They seem to be even numbers. So after him was Shagmar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. This matter here of the ox goad and the men slain by it, we would commonly think of an ox goad as being a rather thin thing, but there is one researcher who tells us that in Palestine and Syria, the ox goad is of an extraordinary size. And this historian says that he measured several of these ox goads, and he found them about 8 feet long. And at the bigger end, it had rather conical in shape, with a big end and a small end. At the bigger end, about 6 inches in circumference. Now, get it, that's 6 inches in circumference, not in diameter. And then they were armed at the smaller end with a sharp prick for driving the oxen. Then at the other end, with a small paddle of iron that was strong and massive, and this was to be used for cleaning the clay from the plow that the ox would draw. Well, in the hand of a powerful man such as Shagmar, this indeed would be a very dangerous weapon, and even more fatal than a sword, both with its sharp end and with the steel paddle on the end, that as he would either swing it or move forward with it, not strange at all that he killed 600 men and that he delivered Israel from their servitude. Well, this brings us to the fourth chapter. Now, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them in the king hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles, that is, of the nations. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 20 years, the time of the oppressions. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. If they wanted wisdom or advice, the elements of judgment in any matter, they could come up to her. And verse 6, she went and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord of Israel commanded me, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude. I'll deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. You'll get no honor from it. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites, and pitched his tent under the plain of Zaanim, which is Bekadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of arms, and all the people were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles under the river of Kishon. Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots, and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, though so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot, and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots, and after the host, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. And there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her in his tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto thee, her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk, and gave him drink, and covered him. And he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent. And it shall be, if any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. And so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now in the fifth chapter, we come to what is called and truly is the Song of Deborah and Barak. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye Yahweh for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to Yahweh God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even the Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel. Until I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. I remember that term, captivity captive, is found in the book of Ephesians. It's been held to convey many ideas, and men have made it to teach many things, such as taking souls out of some place that they call Sheol and taking them to heaven. But if it is Followed out from the clues given the Old Testament, it will tell us no such thing. Verse 13, "Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Maker came down governors. Out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the fields. The king came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their forces fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of their prancings of their mighty ones. These that were used in wars and caused more fright among the people, more damage by fright often than the horses themselves, but here as they pranced and reared up, why, their horse hoofs were broken. Verse 23, "Curse ye Meroz," said the angel Lord, "curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above woman shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall ye be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. When he bowed, there he fell down deed. The mother of Sisera looked out of the window and cried through the lattice, 'Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?' Her wise ladies answered her, 'Yea, he returned,' answer to herself. 'Have they not speed? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of divers colors? A prey of divers colors of needlework? Of divers colors of needlework on both sides? Meet for the necks of them that take the spoil? So let all the enemies perish, Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in the might.' And the land had rest for 40 years. Now that covers the first five chapters of the book of Judges. We will continue in the sixth chapter so that we can, in the next study, deal particularly and as a unit with the judgeship of Gideon. Verse 1 says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens that are in the mountains, the caves, and the stronghold. And it was when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, the children of the east, even they come up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till I come unto Gaza. They left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Well, it's good that they did. It was time for it. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the hand of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and I gave you your land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And this is their condition, their situation, one of complete destitution, one of total famine, one of great hunger, when God raised up Gideon to be the sixth judge in Israel. But that will be our study in the next lesson. And as you know, these are only Bible readings, just intended to get each one of us more familiar, to find out the high spots, and to find out the spatial revelations of truth that might be here. We're not finding a great deal in the way of teaching, mostly just in the way of history. But that completes our study for today. It has been my privilege to teach you. I thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless the word to your hearts and to your minds. So until the next time we gather around the Word of God, I bid you goodbye.